holding on your Zion Omud Beis about two-thirds of the way down the Omud. The line begins the Abba Olima. We're going to start a discussion now, which is going to relate to our Mishnah, and which in general is it's a general discussion about a matter involving Yibum. We've talked about the fact that, of course, once the Yavam, once the husband passes away without children, then there's a Zika, but we have to figure out what exactly is the scope of that Zika. To what extent is it considered as if they were already, as if on some level they were already married? So the Gemara is going to be referring to that as Yesh Zika or Ein Zika. So Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Sheneres Yavam Shemesa Mutar Be'ima. Suppose that you have the woman is waiting for Yibum before one of the brothers had a chance to do Yibum or Chalitza with her, she passed away. Then he would be allowed to marry her mother. Now, if we said that this, obviously if he married her, he wouldn't be able to marry her mother because that's one of the arayas in the Torah is your wife's mother, and that applies even after the wife has been divorced or passed away. But here we're saying that even though there was a zika between them, that's not enough to be considered any form of marriage. Therefore, her mother is still mutter to him. Alma kasava ein zika. That goes to show, therefore, that Rav Huna holds that there's no zika, not meaning there's no zika at all, of course, but what it means is that that zika is not considered for this purpose like an actual marital relationship. So he was never considered married to her. Therefore, there's no problem of him marrying her mother or any other relative. So the Gemara says, "V'leima halacha kedivra oima ein zika." Why doesn't Rav Huna explicitly say? Why doesn't Rav Huna just say that the halacha is like the opinion that says ein zika? Further on in the Masechta, we have a case where you have shemeres yavam. And one of the brothers was Makadish, the sister of the Yavama. And he's saying, well, listen, I'm not going to be the one doing Yibum anyway. My older brother is going to be doing Yibum. So he'll do Yibum and I'll be married to the sister. We tell him not necessarily, says Rabbi Yehuda ben Veseira, not necessarily because, the fact is right now she has a zika to you and the zika is strong enough to prevent you from marrying this woman. So therefore, we tell him wait to actually marry her until we see what your brother does. When your brother does yibum, then the zika will go away, and then you'll be able to marry her. Then you'll be able to marry her sister. So Rashi says the implication is that Rabbi Yehuda ben Veseira says that, but the Chachamim disagree with him. So evidently then there are opinions that say yesh zika and opinions that say ein zika. So why is Rav Huna saying in such a roundabout way, let him say the halacha is like the opinion that ein zika? Tosfos discusses that and then says not necessarily is it in that case, but there are other cases, where there are Chachamim saying, Ein Zika. The point is, why didn't he say that? The answer is, he have a Omar Hochi, because if Rav Huna were to express himself like that, Halacha Kedivra Omar Ein Zika, Hava Amina Hani Nuvi Betray. That applies only when there are at least two other brothers who could do Yibum. So then we can say, right now she has a Zika to all of them, fine, but you can't really say that she has a strong enough Zika to any one of them that it should be, that it should make it that her mother should be considered an erva to one of them. Aval b'chad yesh Zika. You might have, after all, Rabbi Yehuda ben Veseira's case involves where there's more than one brother. You had Reuven was married to this woman and died. Now you have Shimon and Levi. Shimon is Makadish, a sister of hers, and we tell him, wait until we see what your brother Levi does, whether he does Yibum or Chalitza. What about if there was only Reuven and Shimon? Where automatically, once Reuven dies, then the Yavama is going to have to do Chalitza or Yibum with Shimon. So when there's only one, you would have thought maybe he holds Yesh Zika. So by giving this case and saying that he's allowed to marry her mother, it's clear that he holds that there's no Zika, whether there's two brothers or whether there's only one. Okay, well, the question is, V'lema halacha k'divra oima ein zika afilu b'chad.
Fine, but you have an opinion who says that there's no zika even when there's only one brother, which is an opinion of Rabbi Akiva later on in our perek. One outcome, one outgrowth of whether we say yesh zika or ain zika is the question. Basically, you can think of it as the opinions that hold ain zika would hold that she's not considered to be an arusa. The opinions that say yesh zika would hold that to a certain extent she's considered an arusa. Now we know that a woman when she's an arusa, her father and her arus jointly can be made for her nedarim. So does that apply to the Shemeres Yavam? Rabbi Akiva holds later on in the perek, no. And Rabbi Akiva makes it clear over there that that's true whether there's one Yavam or multiple Yavamim. So we see that Rabbi Akiva holds that Ein Zika even when there's only one Yavam. So why doesn't Rav Huna just say briefly the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva? The answer is if Rav Huna had expressed himself like that, Havamim Akiva Mechaim, then you would think that it means that he holds Ein Zika even while the Yavama is alive. In other words, in our scenario over here, so Shimon, the Yavam, wants to marry, so you have, let's say, Rachel, the Yavama, and you have Shimon, the Yavam. So what happens if he wants to marry her mother while Rachel is still alive? Would he be allowed to do that? If we said Ein Zika, Afilu Bachar, if we said the Halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, then it would mean that even while Rachel, the Yavama, is alive, then Shimon is allowed to evade that, is allowed to evade the Yibum or the Chalitza by marrying her mother, and therefore now Rachel, Reuben's wife, becomes an erva to him, and therefore she's potter from Chalitza or Yibum. So you would have thought you could do that. Kamash Malan, therefore, Rav Huna has to specifically tell us, La'acha Misa Ein, only after Rachel died would Shimon be allowed to marry her mother. Mechaim Loi, but not while Rachel was alive, Mishum de Osu Levato Mitzvah Yivamim. Because even though he says Ein Zika, but he holds, on the other hand, you're also not allowed to do something which is going to be mevatel, the mitzvah of Yibum. So if he marries Rachel's mother or most of her other relatives while Rachel is alive, then he's being mevatel, mitzvah Yibumim, with that action, and Rav Huna is saying that he can't do. But once Rachel is dead anyway, so there's obviously not going to be any chalitza or yibum with him, with her, then he's saying at that point then, we don't say that the Zika created a bond of marriage between them, such that he would be also in her mother. No, he's mutter in her mother. Okay. So, Shnan, let's look at a Mishnah and see whether it fits with what Rav is saying. If the Yavam passes away, you're allowed to marry her sister. Now, a sister, we have to remember, even when a man is married, is completely married to a woman, when she passes away, he's allowed to marry her sister. So therefore, what the Mishnah or the Braisa that we're saying over here, that we're quoting now, in effect, what it's saying is that the Yavama is considered to that extent like his wife because of the Zika, but once she passes away, he's allowed to marry her sister. Because anyway, even if they'd been fully married, he'd be allowed to. So the implication is Ba'achoysa Ein B'imaloi. He's allowed to marry her sister because of that, but not her mother, because her mother remains an erva to him forever. So that would be not like Rav. Now, granted, Rav has Tanoim on his side who say Ein Zika. As we just said, we have the Chachamim who argue with Rabbi Huda ben Seira, we have Rabbi Akiva, we have other Chachamim as we're going to go along. Nevertheless, though, if anything, then it would, because this is a Mishnah later on in our Masechta, it would be you have a Machloikas on the subject in our Perek, and then you have a Stam, and the rule is when you have Machloikas v'achakach Stam, then the Halacha is like the Stam Mishnah, so that would mean not like Rav. So the answer is no. So the answer is loy. Who adin da'afilu be'ima? Good morning, Aaron. Who adin da'afilu be'ima? No, in fact, the din would be the same that he would be allowed to marry her mother. The Mishnah is not excluding that case. But the reason it phrases it that way is because the beginning of the Mishnah talks about where a person's wife married, and we're talking about a full wife, where there he's mutter to marry her sister, because that's the case. The Torah only says you're not allowed to have two sisters when the second sister, when the first one is still alive. And there it applies only to a sister, but not a mother. Because after all, a man's wife's mother is an heir to him, daraisa, even after his wife is dead. So because of that, so the Sefer uses the same expression, but not to imply that in the Sefer, we were talking about a Shemeretz Yavam, that it should be limited only to a sister. We can say, like what Rav Huna is saying, that that in fact it applies to all the relatives. Because once she's dead, then the Zika is over. Okay, so all of that is one opinion. But Rav Yehuda Amar, Rav Yehuda says a different opinion. Shemeres Yavam Shemesa also Be'ima. But no, if the Shemeres Yavam dies, he's still also to marry her mother. In that sense, we say Yesh Zika. The Zika is strong enough to make it as if he was already married, or at least as if he was already orders to her, and therefore that her mother would be also to her, just as if he had been ma'aris her in the regular way, where then we would say that then her mother and most of her relatives would be also to him. Alma kasava yesh zika, which shows that Rav Yehuda holds that there is zika, in other words, that zika is considered like a marital relationship. So again, the question is, v'leima halacha k'divrei Rav Yehuda yesh zika? Why does he have to say it in such a roundabout way? Let him just say the halacha is like the opinion that yesh zika, which is, we said before, the opinion of Rabbi Huda ben Beseira, where when a brother of the mess wants to be in the Kaddish, a sister of the Yavama, we tell him, wait until your brother does Yibum or Chalitza, and then you can do that. So why didn't he just say the halacha is like that? And the answer is, Ihaba Omahochi, same problem as in reverse, as with Rav Huna. If he had said that, Hava Amina, Hani Mili Bechad, then you would think that maybe you say Yesh Zika only when there's one brother. Ava Betrei Ein Zika. Maybe you would say that when there's two brothers or more, then there's no Zika, because she's not any more tied to one of them than she is to the other. The whole machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and the Chachamim is when there are two or more brothers. The scenario is, we can look at the diagrams for this. The scenario is in diagram 70 in Mari Yavamas. So you have Reuven was married to Rachel. He dies. Now, before Shimon does Yibum with Rachel, or before Shimon and Levi have an equal responsibility to do Yibum with Chalitza with Rachel, before that, Shimon goes and is Makadish Leah, who is Rachel's sister. So we tell Shimon, don't marry her yet. Wait until Levi does Yibum with Chalitza with Rachel, then Leah would be mutter to you. That's according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. The Chachamim apparently say that ain't Zika. So that case clearly involves two brothers, because you have Shimon and Levi. So how could we say that if Rabbi Yehuda the Amora were to say the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, we could possibly misunderstand him and say that it applies only when there's one brother? That case clearly involves two brothers. Ella, no. Rather, we have to say I amahochi. If Rav Yehuda had expressed himself like that, Hava Amina Mechayim, then again, like we said in Rav Huna, we would say that this concept of Yesh Zika applies only as long as she's alive. So in that scenario, as long as Rachel is alive, then her relatives are also to him. Avala Achamisa, but after she dies, Pokala Zika, maybe the Zika goes away. In other words, so as far as the sister, it wouldn't really matter, because the fact is, even if she was his full wife, her sister is mutter to him after she dies. But let's say her mother, which is the scenario we're talking about over here, if he said Yesh Zika, then you would say, okay, well, Yesh Zika, as long as Rachel is alive. But Rachel died, it means there never was a Zika in the first place. Therefore, he's allowed to marry her mother. Kamash Malan, therefore, Rabbi Yehuda wants us to know that according to his opinion, the Zika Bichdi, like Paka, Zika doesn't just disappear on its own. So therefore, even though she died and they never ended up doing Chalitza or Yibum, nevertheless, her relatives are still considered, it's still considered that at one point she was married to him or orders to him. And therefore, that the relatives that remain Osir, of the relatives of a wife that remain Osir after the wife dies, namely pretty much all of them except for the sister, do remain Osir to him. Now, in fact, of course, if the Zika was taken away by, various Rishonim and Achronim discussed the point that, after all, in that scenario, if Levi does do Yibum with Rachel, then Shimon is allowed to marry Rachel's mother. or any of her relatives, which goes to show, therefore, that there is a way in which the zika can be completely removed. Because otherwise, if we were to say yes zika to that extent, then it would mean that even after Levi does yibum, Shimon would still be usur in all of her relatives because of the zika that there was there at some point. So therefore, some different various Rishonim and Acharonim discuss the point that there can be a difference according to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion between zika that was removed by one of the other brothers doing yibum or chalitza versus zika that was removed by her dying, where therefore there's not going to be yibum or chalitza anymore. We can say the first kind removes it even retroactively, in the sense, therefore, that it's not considered that she was ever related to him, and therefore and then therefore her relatives are mutter. And even within that itself, you have a little bit of discussion how exactly that works, because we learned in the first parak that Rabbi Yochanan holds that if after that if one of the brothers did kedushin, did mimer with her, and then one of the other brothers had relations with her, then we said that he wouldn't be chayiv kares, he'd only be chayiv alav. So there has to be, in other words, it has to be that in a certain sense, the zika has, in a certain sense, the zika still exists, but in a certain sense, it's been completely removed. Otherwise, it'd be chayiv kares because she was his brother's wife. So there's a lot of complicated discussion about that. But the point is, anyway, we're saying when she dies, then fine, it removes the zika from now on, but it doesn't remove it retroactively. Therefore, it's considered as though he and she were married or at least arusim at some point, and therefore he remains usur to marry her mother. This is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Okay. So the Gemara says, Lema Messiah, well, can we support Rabbi Yehuda's opinion from the Mishnah that we quoted before, Yevimte Shemesa Mutter Ba'achosa, where it says that if his Yevama dies, he's allowed to marry her sister, implying Ba'achosa Ein Be'imaloi, implying he's allowed to marry her sister because a sister is anyway Mutter after the wife dies, Be'imaloi, implying though that her mother or other relatives would be also, and that would support Rabbi Yehuda's position against Rabbi Huna. And the answer is not. And the answer is, who I didn't ask a little bit, Ima. Not necessarily. The Mishnah may be saying that the same thing applies even to the mother. And again, the only reason it mentions a sister, because the Reisha says that if his wife dies, he's allowed to marry her sister, we have Davka Ba'achoysa with the Ima Loi, and that applies Davka to a sister, but not to a mother, to have Yilay Isur Daraisa, because after all, his wife's mother is also to him by an Isur Daraisa, Tananami Sefer Mutter Ba'achoysa, so the Sefer uses the same expression. So no proof one way or the other from that. Okay. Masiv Rav Huna Bachia. Now, the Rav Huna Bachia says, I have a contradiction from a Braisa that says, Osa ba Maimer. What happens if one of the brothers did Maimer with this Yuvama, where we said Maimer is Kiddushin, but in connection with Yuvama, instead of calling it Kiddushin, we call it Maimer. I guess one reason why the different terminology is because really on a daraisa level, you don't need it at all. All you need is bia. The chachamim were the ones who were misakin it as compared to regular kedushin, which exists on a daraisa level. So maybe for that reason, the chachamim came up with different terminology for it. Whatever the case, if one of the brothers did mimer with this woman, ummes, and then he died before he had the chance to, this is actually, it's not a braisa, it's actually our Mishnah, it's actually a quotation from our Mishnah, which is why we're bringing in the sugya over here. So we have the end of our Mishnah described. You have the case of Eishes Ochiv Shaloi Hoya Bar Lamai. So you had after Reuven died, and before Shimon did Yibum, Levi was born. So we said Levi is Ochib Shalai Hoy by Lama to Reuven because he wasn't in the world at the same time as Reuven, and therefore Reuven's wife is also to him as an erva, and therefore even if Shimon afterwards does Yibum with her. And then Shimon himself dies childless, then she's still also to Levi, and of course so is her tzara, etc. But now, the Mishnah had said, what if Shimon had not done actual Yibum with her? What if he only did a mimer with her? Then, Shnia Chaletzis, V'lemis Yabemes, then we said that she only gets Chalitza, not Yibum, because again, on one level, she's considered married to him, Dirabonan, but on another level, she's not, Daraisa. This is, we can go back to diagram 69 to clarify it. So Reuven was married to Esther and died. Before Shimon did anything, Levi was born. Then Shimon did Yibum with the first case of the Mishnah. Then Shimon did Yibum with Esther, and now we're talking about where it wasn't Yibum, but rather he did Mimer. So now we're saying that Esther is Chaletzis v'lo Misyabemes, because on the one hand, on the Daraisa level, she has a on a Daraisa level, she doesn't have any connection to Shimon because Mimer doesn't count for anything Daraisa. And on the other hand, we're saying that Dirabbanan she does. And therefore, is she Shimon's wife or not? So rather Shni actually is over there is Shimon's wife. Is she a Tzoras Erva or not? According to Reb Shimon, we'll see on Amud Beis what happens, but according to the Chachamim, Esther is definitely off limits because she was married to Reuben. The question would be on Chana, Shimon's wife, because she was a Tzoras Erva. So we said that if he did Mimer, then she's a Tzoras Erva, only Dirabbanan, so therefore Chaletzes v'lemes yabemes. Now, Taima de'ovad bar Mimer. Now, the implication is that that's only because Shimon did Mimer. Holoi ovad bar Mimer, implying if he did not do any Mimer even, Shnia nami yabumi miyabma, then the second woman, Shimon's wife, Chana, would perfectly be able to do Yibum. The Iyamath Yesh Zika. Now, if you say Yesh Zika, meaning that as soon as Reuben dies, it's considered to a certain extent, even before Mimer, as though Esther is already orus to Shimon, well then, isn't Chana the tzara of the Eisha Sachem Shalai Hayibay Lame via the Zika? So in other words, the Zika itself, we're saying, is like Erusin, according to the opinion that Yesh Zika, and that would make it. In other words, that both these women are considered Shimon's wives at this point. One fully, and one Chana fully, and the other one, the Yavama Esther, by way of Zika. And now, if Shimon dies, then automatically Chana is the tzara of an era. And yet we don't say that, so that shows that ain't Zika. So the answer is Omer Rabba. So not necessarily. Hu adin da'afakab deloy obad ba mimer. No, actually, even if Shimon had, maybe we could say that even if Shimon had not yet done Mimer with this woman, Shnia mechlatz cholza yabumi lo miyabma. The second woman, Chana, still would have to do chalitza and not yibum. V'hod katani Mimer. So the reason why the Mishnah stresses that this applies only if Shimon did Mimer is la'apuki mibis shamai da'ami Mimer koina kinyan gomer. Because the Mishnah wants to tell us, not like this Shammai, which says later on in our Perek, you know, here and there in the Masechta, that they say that Mimer is Koina Kinyan Gomer, which would mean, in other words, according to Beis Shammai then, she would be a Tzoras Erva and Potter even from Chalitza. Now, to be exact, actually, I mean, we don't mean that Shammai themselves really would hold she'd be Chayiv anyway, because as we learned in the previous Perek, they don't hold of the whole concept of Tzoras Erva. But what we're saying is, within Beis Shammai's opinion, we can distinguish between two different things. Number one is Mimer Koina Kinyan Gomer, and Tosfos Hashanim points out they're not the only ones who hold that. There are other Tanoim who hold that way as well, that Mimer actually creates a complete Kinyan, not just like Erusin, not just on a Drabonon level. So, they also hold Saras Erva is Mutter, but fine, let's ignore that. And then, because after all, they're the Adat Yochid against Beis Hillel. But still, in other words, so therefore the Mishnah wants us to know that no, Mimer is not Koina Kinyan Gomer. It only makes it that it's a Kinyan Dirabbanan, but not Daraisa, and because of that, we're left with Chaletzes v'lemes yabemes. Which Tosfos Yeshanim says, I mean, we know anyway, Beis Shammai against Beis Hillel is ain't a Mishnah. Why do we even need to have a Mishnah to tell us that point? And not only this Mishnah, but we're going to have another Mishnah later on that we're going to quote that says the same thing. And the reason is, again, because we said that at least as far as this detail of Mimer, there are other Tanoim who agree with Beis Shammai. And also that if we didn't have the two Mishnayas, then we would have thought that in fact, look, the Mishnah is saying that also by Mimer, we wouldn't think to say that it applies equally whether yes or no. We're only saying that in order to for Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, we need two different things that tell us don't understand it like that, but rather understand it that we're coming to say not like the Shammai. Okay. So therefore, so Kamash Malon. Therefore, the Mishnah is telling us that not like the Shammai, Mimer, Koina, Kinyan, Gomer, you should know the Mimer only creates a quasi-relationship. But in fact, according to the Yehuda, at least, if we say Yesh Zika, then it would mean the Mishnah applies equally well whether Mimer was done or not, because just the fact that there exists a Zika makes it that now both of these women are considered connected to Shimon and to Levi, So Esther actually can't be connected to Levi because she's Eishes Ochel Shalahoy Ba'alama. She's an Erebah to him, and therefore Chana is considered to be, through Zikah, is considered to be her Tzara, and is also off limits to Levi. So we could still make the Mishnah work according to that opinion that Yesh Zikah. Okay, Eisvei Abaya. So Abaya says, I have another contradiction. Further on, we have a case. Shnei Achen Ba'olam Echad. Suppose that there are two brothers who were in the world at the same time. So Reuven and Shimon. Shimon was born before Reuven died. Umes Echad Mehen B'loy Vlad. So one of them, Reuven, dies childless. The diagram for this is diagram 71. So it's similar to the other one, with the exception of that we're not talking about that Shimon had done Maimer or Yibum yet. So Reuven dies childless. But Omer Asheni has a lachas Maimer b'Yivinto. Shimon was ready to do Maimer with his Yivama, with Esther. But Loi Hispik lachas ba Maimer ad shenodol loyach. Before he even had a chance to do a Maimer, and later on Daf Yud Tes, so we'll learn this tomorrow about Hashem. The Gemara is going to discuss what does that mean that he didn't have a chance to yet. But anyway, he didn't have. Ad shenodol loyach, before he had a chance to, a brother, Levi, was born, Umes, and then Shimon died, Harishona, Yotzeh, Mishum Eisha Sochem, Shalohei Ba'alamoi. So the first one, Esther, Reuben's wife, is potter on the grounds of Eisha Sochem, Shalohei Ba'alamoi, because again, that's one of the Chamesh Esrei Nashim. She is also to Levi because she was married to a brother of his who wasn't in the world at the same time as him, and we learned yesterday in the Gemara, the Limud, how we know that she's an heir to him. And the Braisa continues, Shnia Oicheletas Oimisabemes. As far as the second one, Chana, she can either do Chalitza or Yibum, meaning there's a regular Zika with her, because after all, Shimon and Levi were in the world at the same time. Now, the Iyamit, Yesh Zika. If you tell me Yesh Zika, then you have the same problem. Isn't Chana considered a Tzara of Esther through Zika? Fine, Shimon didn't do Maimer yet, unlike in Or Mishnah, where he did Maimer or he did Yibum, as the case may be. But just the Zika alone, according to the opinion, Yesh Zika should be enough to create that connection. And the answer is, we can answer, Homani Rav Meir, Hidu Amma Ein Zika. The answer is, you can say that Braisa goes according to Rav Meir, who is one of the opinions that hold that Ein Zika. In fact, Rashi points out that further on, when we learn this Braisa and analyze it in more detail on Daf Yud Tes, which we'll learn tomorrow, Bas Hashem, then it brings the whole Braisa and it says at the end, Divrei Rameir. So this Braisa then is going to Rameir, and Rameir, we know, says Ein Zikla. So the question is that in fact the case? Umi Sviro Leikir Rameir Ein Zikla? Does Rameir in fact hold Ein Zikla? V'hatshnan, we learn in a Mishnah later in our Perek, Arba Achim, suppose you have four brothers, this is diagram 72, four brothers, Shnayim and Nesuin Shtei Achoyas, two of them are married to two sisters, so Reuben and Shimon are married to Rachel and Leah, respectively, Umesu and Nesuin Achoyas, Reuben and Shimon die, Hare Elochotis Velevis Yamas. So we say that Rachel and Leah have to have Chalitza, they cannot have Yibum. Now, why is that? Because the problem is, we learned about this in the previous parak as well. Each one of them is a zakuka to the brothers, but each one of them is also a chos zakukasai, because after all, they're sisters. And a chos zakukasai is also. Now, the Isak of that, now that, and that Mishnah is a stam Mishnah, we would assume it's according to the Meir. The Isakadai the Chsover Rameir Ein Zika. If you're going to say that Rameir holds Ein Zika, so what's the problem? It's another Ein Zika would mean, in other words, that Rachel is not considered. Neither Rachel nor Leah are considered tied to Levi to the extent that her sister would be off limits. So what's the problem? Hani Vitrei Bati Kaastian. After all, these two women come from two different families, two different houses, and therefore each one needs Chalitza or Yibum independently. Highly Yabim Choda, highly Yabim Choda. So let Levi do Yibum with Rachel. Let Yehuda do Yibum, or either one could do Yibum or Chalitza. So Levi can do Yibum or Chalitza with Rachel. Yehuda can do Yibum or Chalitza with Leah. What's the problem? The only reason we would say a problem is because of Achos Zikukasai, but that requires us to say that Yesh Zikra. So it seems that Rameir has to hold that Yesh Zika, otherwise the scenario of that Mishnah wouldn't work. And yet you're telling me that based on the braisa that we quoted before, that Rav Meir holds ein zika. So what is it? And the answer is, la'olam ein zika. You could in fact say that, you could in fact say that Rav Meir does hold ein zika. The reason why in that Mishnah, you can't just have each of them be miyabim, the women, each of them have to do chalitza, mishum dekosava, osu levato mitzvah yivam. Because there's a different point. Even if we say yes, even if we say ein zika, we can still also say also levato mitzvah yibumin. You're not allowed to do something which is going to cause the yibum to be canceled. So, for example, at the beginning of the sugya, we had the discussion about whether the yavam is allowed to marry the yavama's mother, and we said that Rav Huna, who says that he's mutter after she dies, he would agree that it's also while she's alive because also. Because what are you doing with that? He's making it impossible to do yibum now, because now he's making it impossible to do yibum and unnecessary to do chalitza, because now she's the daughter of his wife, who's an heir to him. So even if we say ein zika, as we said, Rav Huna basically holds that way, we can still say os to levato mitzvah yibumin. Well, then Rav Meir would hold the same way. He would say, fine, ein zika. In that sense, we're not concerned about the fact that Rachel and Leah are each achos zikukasei. However, there is the consideration, also levato mitzvah yibumin, you're not allowed to do something which is going to cause yibum to become impossible. So what happens? The Duma admi yabim chad mayis idach. What happens is, what could happen is before one of them does yibum, Mayis idach, the other one dies, because the talta mitzvah yibumin. Now it'll be so now it won't be possible to do Adam yabim chad means before one of them does yibum, Mayis idach, then the other one dies, and now because talta mitzvah yibumin, now you canceled mitzvah yibumin, because now what you have is that if now, let's say, Levi dies and the only surviving brother left is Yehuda, so he's not going to be able to do chalitza, or he's not going to be able to do yibum with either one of them, because now they're definitely achos zikukasei, because now both of them are in zika to him. So what you have is, we are talking about Adam Yabim, meaning after he did yibum. So Levi is going to do yibum with Rachel, let's say. But now, if Yehuda dies, then it's not going to be possible to do yibum with Leah because she's Rachel's sister, and that would be mevatel mitzvah yibumin from one of these two women. So therefore, we don't want that because of the possibility that one of the brothers might die. So instead, what we tell him is do chalitza. So we tell Levi, for example, do chalitza, and if now your brother dies, then fine, you'll do chalitza with her as well. And really, actually, you would be able to. In fact, Rashi says once he did chalitza with Rachel, he'd really even be able to do yibum with Leah as well on a daraisa level. We make Zera not to do that because he might do yibum first, and then again, if his brother dies, then we mevatel mitzvah yibumin because he can't do yibum with both of them, they being sisters. But in other words, all of that is on the basis of also levatel mitzvah yibumin, not necessarily on the basis of yesh zika. So we could say Rav Meir holds that way. So he does in fact hold ein zika. It's not that Levi is also to Rachel and to Leah and so is Yehuda because of achos zikukasei. The reason is because if Levi does yibum with Rachel and then Yehuda dies, then it makes it impossible to do yibum with Leah and vice versa. So the Gemara says, so what? The ein zika tibotol. So what? If Rav Meir holds that there's no zika, he doesn't hold that zika creates that kind of issue at all. Tibotol. So what's the problem? Go ahead and be mevatel mitzvah yibumin. Go ahead and do something which could conceivably cause that yibum won't take place with the other woman. After all, we find Rav Gamliel holds that there's no zika and that you're allowed to be mevatel mitzvah yibumin. It's none. We have a case later on in our Masechta. You have a case where brothers are married to two sisters, but the twist is one of them is a gedola and one of them is a katana. where we're talking about the kind of katana who could do miyun, as we learned in the previous parak, that the katana who was married off by anybody other than her father is able to do miyun afterwards. So now you have the issue like this. So Reuben was married to the older sister, and Shimon was married to the younger sister, who still is of the age to do miyun. So now what happens is, if Reuben died, and his wife, who's in diagram 73 over here, is labeled Gdola, so what happened? So now, the Tanakama over there says that what we need to do is we need to have the Katana, Shimon's wife, do miyun. Miyun will accomplish that. It's as if she was never married to Shimon. Well, then that way the Gdola will be available, and that way there's no issue of her being the sister of his wife, because the Katana is retroactively not considered his wife, and therefore we're good. That's what the Tanakama says. On the other hand, Rav Gamliel says no. Im miyano miyano. If the Katana does miyun, then fine, she does miyun. I agree, then let Shimon go ahead and do yibum with the Gdola. The im loy miyana, but we don't tell her to do miyun. If she doesn't end up doing miyun, tamtin at shetagdil, let her wait until she grows up. The tate alazuma, shumachoy sisha, and then she's potter on the grounds of being his wife's sister. Who is it that should wait? Rashi says we're talking about that the Gdola will have to wait until the Katana becomes old enough that her marriage now takes effect on a daraisa level. Then at that point, Shimon will have relations with her. Now, up until this point, he was married to her, and if he had relations with her, it was only Dirabanan. Now, once she develops Shtei Cyrus, when he does that, her marriage becomes Chal on a daraisa level. And therefore, at that point, now the Gdola is now the sister of his wife, and therefore she'd be Potter from Yibum at that point. So Rav Gamliel says we don't have to make the Katana do miyun. We just wait until she grows up, showing that we can be mevatel mitzvah yevamim. Tosfos discusses differently. Tosfos says that no, that's not what the Gemara means. It means that the Katana, we should wait. The Shimon should wait and not have relations at this point anymore with the Katana until she becomes a Gdola, because Tosfos says mechur hadavar. It would be an ugly thing to do, given that this Bia is not going to pass her sister from Yibum, then therefore Shimon has to hold off and not do anything to sort of prejudice the situation until his wife becomes a Gdola, and then at that point when he has relations with her, then her sister will be the wife of his, will be the sister of his wife, of his wife, of someone who's his wife on a Daraisa level, and therefore then she'll be part of Chalitza and Yibum, but not before that. Anyway, the point is, we see that Rav Gamliel allows you to do that. So we see that Rav Gamliel holds mutal levatal mitzvah yibamin, and necessarily he has to hold ein zika as well, because if there was zika, then as soon as Reuben dies, then Shimon's wife should be also to him, because she's the sister of his zikuka. So the fact that you don't do that shows that, and remember that the Gdola is a zikuka to him on a daraisa level, because the Katana is his wife only on the Rabbanan level. 7:45. So that shows that Rav Gamliel holds that. So why can't we say Rav Meir holds that? Amalei. Abaya had asked the question to Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda says, what kind of a question is that? Did Rav Gamliel and Rav Meir call Ravis? So what? Are you trying to show a contradiction between Rav Gamliel and Rav Meir? Rav Gamliel can hold mutal levatal mitzvah yevamin. That doesn't necessarily show that Rav Meir holds that way. They're different tanoim. And the answer is loy hochi kamrinim. So Abai says, no, let me clarify. What I'm asking is as follows. Rav Meir chayesh afilu l'sfeita. What we're saying is that Rav Meir is concerned even about a suffix, because in Rav Meir's case involving the four brothers, it's not a certainty that one of the brothers is going to die after one of them does evil. It might happen, it might not. In fact, Tosfos discusses Rav Meir himself generally is not concerned about people dying, at least in the short term, but here it's not necessarily a short term, because it may be a while before one of them does chalitza or yibum, and long term maybe we do have to be concerned, and Rav Meir is concerned even about that suffix. Rav Gamliel afilu levadai lechayish. Rav Gamliel, on the other hand, was saying is not concerned even in the case of vadai, of the two sisters, the Gdola and the Tana. So duma mandal lechayish afilu levadai lechayish. So should we say then that whoever is not concerned about mitzvah yivamin wouldn't care even about vaday uman the chayish afilu l'speik l'chayish. And whoever is concerned would be concerned, even about a suffix. So in other words, we wouldn't have to say that it's a double machloik. We wouldn't have to say that the machloik is between Rav Meir and Rav Gamliel is, do, are we concerned, is mutar levatal mitzvah yivamin or also levatal mitzvah yivamin. We can say both of them would agree with the fundamental concept, but the we would say so what we would say is that Rav Meir is not that we would say then that Rav Gamliel is not concerned about it in either a vaday or a suffix case, and Rav Meir would be choishish for it whether in a vaday or in a suffix case. So if we learn that way, then it would mean that in fact Rav Meir, so it would mean that Rav Meir does in fact hold that Rav Meir does in fact hold also levatal mitzvah yivamin, and therefore so even though he holds ein zika, he can well hold also levatal mitzvah yivamin. Rav Gamliel says differently, but okay, what we mean is maybe Rav Gamliel is never concerned about it, and Rav Meir is always concerned about it. So the bottom line is we don't have a contradiction. We can say that Rav Meir holds Ein Zika. So therefore, the Braisa that we brought earlier on the Amud that implied that Ein Zika, we can say that Braisa is according to Rav Meir, that doesn't necessarily contradict Rav Yehuda's opinion, that Rav Yehuda, the Amora, that Yesh Zika, because he's holding according to other Tanoi. Okay. Amalei Abaya Rav Yosef, Hodir Rav Yehuda to Shmuel. So later on, Abaya says to Rav Yosef, you should know that we can figure out that this statement of Rav Yehuda is not his own. He actually got it, that this statement of Rav Yehuda came from Shmuel. Namely, Rav Yehuda had been a Talmud by Rav. Then after Rav passed away, he became a Talmud of Shmuel. Sometimes we have a statement of Rav Yehuda, where he didn't say it explicitly in the name of Rav or in the name of Shmuel. So we have to figure out for ourselves. So Abaya says we can demonstrate that this particular statement of Rav Yehuda is in the name of Shmuel, which means, in other words, that it's not just that we have a machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, but rather we have a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. The Tanan, and we know that because we learn in a Mishnah later in our Masechta, which we quoted at the beginning of the Sugya, Shemeres Yavam Shekidish Ocheves Achosa. If the Shemeres Yavam, if one of the brothers was Makadish her sister. So again, now, if he ends up marrying her, then she's going to be also to him as a chos ishtoi. So, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Amru, they said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Oimrim Loi, that we tell this brother, Hamten Ach Yasa Achicha Maisa, wait until your brother does something, Yibum or Chalitza, and then you'll be able to marry, this woman, because right now she's the sister of Yuskuka. And Shmuel says, the halacha is like him. Showing that Rav Yehuda holds yesh, that showing that Shmuel holds yesh zika. So if Rav Yehuda is saying yesh zika, it means that he got it from Shmuel. Amalei, so Rav Yosef says, well, why do we need to point that out? De'i de Rav mai, and what would be the problem if we said that it was according to Rav? And the answer is Amalei kasha de Rav ad Rav, because then you'd have a contradiction between two statements of Rav, because Rav Huna said in the name of Rav that ain zika. So the Gemara says, so what? Dilma amaroi ninu valiba de Rav. So what? What's the problem with that? We could have two different Amoraim, Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, disagreeing what Rav said. That doesn't force us to say that Rav Yehuda's statement is in the name of Shmuel. And the answer is, given the Itma, Meshmei, the Shmuel Behedya, given that we have an explicit statement of Shmuel, that the halacha is like Rav Yehuda ben Maseira, showing that he holds Yesh Zika, Meshmei, the Rav Kamaroi. But if we were to say that Rav holds that, it would force us to say that there's machlokas amaroyim within what Rav says. We're not going to say that Shmuel didn't say it, and instead force ourselves to say that we have a machlokas amaroyim. What Rav said, much more logical to say that Rav said one way according to everybody, and Shmuel said a different way according to everybody. Which, by the way, actually, I mean, one reason why we would care about that is because the question ultimately becomes, who is the halacha like? Now, usually in Dine Isser Veheter, we usually say the halacha is like Rav. So that would mean in this case, if we said that one of these opinions is like Rav and the other is like Shmuel, then it would mean necessarily we'd have to pass him like the opinion that says Ein Zika. So the opinion of Rav Huna in the name of Rav. On the other hand, if we said the two of them are in the name of Rav, then we could decide between them. There are Rishonim, for example, the Rif, who paskin like Rav in that regard, on the basis of that's how it is. Usually in Dine Issu V'Heter, the Halacha is like Rav. And since the Gemara is establishing now that we have Rav versus Shmuel, then that means the Halacha has to be like Rav. On the other hand, most of the Rishonim paskin like Shmuel, on the grounds, now, even though that violates the usual rule, because we see that the Gemara is going into such detail to explain the opinion and to explain the opinion that Yesh Zika and defend it against contradictions by other Mishnayos and things, then therefore, and then the Gemara is going to continue discussing it now, that would demonstrate that the Halacha is like Shmuel. But still, that it's important to know then that it's like Shmuel rather than another opinion within Rav. So the Gemara continues. I told over this whole discussion to Rav Zvid min Hauda, who was his Rebbe. Omar, he says, Atun hochi mas nisula. So you, in your yeshiva, have learned it like that Rav Yehuda said it anonymously, and you have to figure out logically whether it's in the name of Shmuel or not. And Anan Behedi Masninan, we in our yeshiva learn it clearly that way to begin with. Om Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Shemeres Yavim Shemesa, also Be'ima, Alma Chaseva Yesh Zika. So we didn't even need this whole analysis that you did to show that it's from Shmuel. We learned Befedosh that he had said it in the name of Shmuel. Shemeres Yavim Shemesa Mutim, Alma Chaseva Yesh Zika, showing therefore that he holds that he holds Yesh Zika, but as the Shmuel of Taimei, and that Shmuel is going according to his own Svara, the Amar Shmuel, Halacha could have been Ben Raseira, and to say that Halacha is like Ben Raseira implies that Yesh Zika, because otherwise the brother who did Kiddushin with the sister of the Skuka, there'd be no reason to tell her to wait, because according to that, Ein Zika. So the Gemara says, now, we need both statements of Shmuel. We couldn't, both statements amount to the same thing, that Yesh Zika, but we still need both of them. The Yesh Min and Yesh Zika, if he told us that Yesh Zika, Hava Amina Hani Mili B'chad, then again, we might have thought that applies only when there's one brother, then we would say Yesh Zika, Ava B'trei Loi, but if there were two or more brothers, maybe Zika doesn't necessarily apply. Kamash Malan, therefore, he tells us the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, where Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira's case involves two or more surviving brothers. The Iyash Min and halacha could Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. On the other hand, if he only told us that, then you would think that only applies that Yesh Zika as long as the Yavama is alive. But after she dies, then the Zika maybe goes away, and therefore he'd be able to marry any relatives of hers that he would have been usher in while she's alive. Therefore he's telling us, like we said earlier in the Sugya, that Zika doesn't just disappear on its own unless Chalitza or Yibum was done. And therefore that for example, the Yavama's mother remains also to him because while she was alive, there was a Zika, and Zika for that purpose is considered the equivalent of Erisin, and therefore her mother remains off limits to him forever.
Can't you make a Kalvachomer? If there's one brother and there's Zika, for sure if there's two brothers, also Zika.
Right, but you wouldn't know that exists after she dies. That's the point. You wouldn't know that after the Yavama dies, that he still remains also to marry her mother. You would have said, okay, there's Zika as long as there's, no matter how many brothers there are, but as soon as she dies, the Zika disappears. So therefore, we need to be told that no, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that we need to be told that no, not only is the halacha like Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, but also that this continues to exist even after that, and besides which also the case of Mutar Be'ima applies when there's only one brother. But yeah, the point is, yeah, that even after she died, even after the Yavama dies, he still remains usher to marry her mother. You wouldn't have known that from Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira's case. So therefore, Shmuel needed to make both statements. Tosfos discusses, by the way, a couple of details within this case of Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira. One of them is that only if he was Makadish, the sister, do we tell him wait to marry her. Because after all, when you get married to her, it's going to look like you're marrying a chosu kukasa. But if you already married her, then the Zika goes away, and then he doesn't have to wait with having relations with her. And then Tosfos goes on to say that this is only if he, that the whole concern is only if he was Makadish her after Yibum came up. If he was Makadish her beforehand, then it wouldn't even be, then it wouldn't even be a problem. So this that we're saying that he has to wait is Davka, Tosfos is saying, when he was Makadisher after the Yibum came up, after her sister was Nachlal Yibum, but he only did Kedushin, not Nisuin. Had he done the Kedushin before Yibum ever came up, or had he done Nisuin even after the Yibum came up, then there wouldn't be any issue. Then even according to the Yehudim and Seira, there wouldn't be any issue. Mishnah says, now the our Mishnah is going to give us a very similar case to the previous one. The diagram for it is diagram 74, where it's pretty much identical to the diagram that we had before for the first Mishnah, the diagram for our Mishnah was diagram 69. For the first Mishnah with diagram 69, diagram 74 is pretty much the same thing with a twist that it's a different order of things that happen. So the Mishnah says, Shnei Achim, you have two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, Umes Echad Mehen, one of them, Reuven, dies, the Yibum Asheni is Eshes Achiv, Shimon did Yibum with his wife. Now, unlike in the previous Mishnah, where Shimon hadn't yet done Yibum before Levi was born, here he did Yibum, V'achatach Nolo Lehen Och, then a brother Levi was born, Umes, and then Shimon died. Harishona Yotzim Mishum Eishasachem Shalayev Elamai Mashniyim Mishum Tarasa. The Tanakhama says the same rules apply as in the first Mishnah, that Esther is Potter because she's Eishasachem Shalayev Elamai, she's an Erva to Levi, and Chana is Potter because she's her Tzara, because they were both married to Shimon at one point. But and also the Maimer Umes, and similarly that if Shimon had done only Maimer with Esther and not actually married her yet, so then he's only married her on a Darabonim level. So Ashniya Chalitzah Solemis Yabemes. So then we said Chana has to do Chalitza but not Yibum because Darabonim she's considered a Tzara of Esther, but Daraisa she's not because Daraisa Maimer doesn't help. Tosfos, by the way, pointed out at the beginning of the Perek, we're going to explain in the Gemara why we needed our Mishnah, how our Mishnah is different than the previous one. This particular part of Osaba Maimer definitely wasn't necessary to repeat, but just since it was in the first part, so we also mention it in the second part. Reb Shimon, I remember Yabim, La Ezeman Shiyotza, Echolot, La Ezeman Shiyotza. Reb Shimon says that Levi can do Yibum or Chalitza with either one. Neither one is off limits to him. So now the Gemara is going to start the discussion. Is Reb Shimon arguing only in the case of our Mishnah, or is he arguing on the previous Mishnah as well? Remember, the only difference is that in the previous Mishnah, Shimon had not yet done Yibum when Levi was born. And now, in our Mishnah, he did Yibum, and only then Levi was born. So now, is Reb Shimon disagreeing in both cases and saying that Shimon can do Yibum or Chalitza with either one of the women, or is he arguing only in the case of our Mishnah, only because Yibum was done before he was born? So Amar Rav Oshia Choluk, Hoyer Rav Shimon Ach B'Rishon. So Rav Oshia tells us that Rav Shimon disagrees with both Mishnais. So whether Levi was born before or after Shimon did Yibum, Rav Shimon would say that Levi is allowed to do Yibum with Esther. She's not considered Eishes Achim Shaloi Harbei Lamai because The fact that later on she did Yibum with Shimon makes it now she's not considered Reuven's wife anymore. Now she's considered strictly Shimon's wife. Well, Shimon was in the world at the same time as him. And Rav Oshia says, where do I get that from? Midichatoni Mishnah Yisera. Because after all, the Mishnah, we have an extra Mishnah over here. Baba Derei Shalaman Katoni Law, because you have to ask. The first Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek, which Tana's opinion does it need to highlight? That it needs to be taught at all. Ilema le Rabbanan, would it be according to the Rabbanan? You don't need. Hashta Yibim le Vasayf Nolad, Madach, here we can make a Kavachomer, that in the case of our Mishnah, Shimon did Yibum before Levi was born. Dechi Ashkecha Behatera Ashkecha. So as soon as Levi is born, Esther is not even he finds her beheter. We can consider as though she was never married to Reuven, because once Shimon married her, then it completely takes away any lingering relationship that we have with Reuven. And yet, and yet after Rabbanan, and yet the Chachamim say that it's also because we have to look back at the past, and she was married to Reuven. Would we need to say according to the Chachamim that it applies where Levi was born before the Yibum? Of course not. There would be a Kavachomer that should be also to Levi, because there you don't even have that Shimon's Yibum has taken away the Isser that existed for her being Reuven's brother and for her being Reuven's wife. So obviously, says Rav Oshia, we must have had the first Mishnah. It was needed to tell us according to Rav Shimon. Therefore, so we learn the Reisha, which is the previous Mishnah, to tell us how far Rav Shimon is going to go, that even if Levi was born before the Yibum, still, once Shimon does the Yibum, then that takes away any Isser resulting from the fact that she was Reuven's wife. And then it continues with the Sefer, which is our Mishnah, to tell us how far the Chachamim go, that in both cases they're going to say she's also. So by right, Reb Shimon should have already argued in the Reisha and said that I hold she's allowed to do Yibum or Chalitza. What happened is Reb Shimon is waiting until the Chachamim finish their whole statement. Once they finish their whole statement and make it clear that they don't care what the order is, whether Levi was born before or after the Yibum, then Reb Shimon says, you should know, I also don't care, but the other way around, I hold that both ways she's Mutter. But in fact, he does argue in both cases, says Reb Oshia. And that's why we needed both Mishnahs. So the question is, Ella Eishes Ochim Shlohei Vailoma L'Rav Shimon Heichem Ashkanachwa. So then in that case, according to Reb Shimon, how would there ever be a case of Eishes Ochim Shlohei Vailoma? After all, according to him, it sounds like as long as Levi was born at some point while Shimon was alive, then it doesn't matter the order, whether he was born before or after Shimon did Yibum. Either way, she'd be mutter to him. So what's the case? Now we had in the first parak, we had Eishes Ochim Shlohei Vailoma, and we said we're not dealing with cases of machlokas over there. So obviously Reb Shimon has to agree with that concept. So not only that, we've learned at the beginning of our parak, we learned a limud from a pasuk how we know Eishes Ochim Shlohei Vailoma. Reb Shimon has to do something with that. So where would he hold that there's that case of Isser? And the answer is, b'chad acha umis v'noda b'yach. You could have where there was one brother, and he died, and then another brother was born. So suppose you only had, Reuben was married to Esther, he died, there's no other brothers at that point. Later on, Levi was born. So we're going to say that, so even Reb Shimon would agree that Levi is also to marry this woman because she's Eishes Ochim Shlohei Vailoma. Only when there was another brother in between who whether he did Yibum yet or not, as long as at some point later on he did Yibum, then we would say that takes away the Isra and Levi. Or another possibility, you could have where there are two brothers, there are both Shimon and Levi, but Shimon did not yet do Yibum or Chalitza with this woman, and he didn't yet die. So then she's also to Levi. In other words, once Levi grows up, then he's not, if Shimon is still alive at that point, only Shimon can be doing Yibum with her. Levi cannot, because even Reb Shimon would agree that she's Eishes Ochim Shlohei Vailoma, because nothing at all was done to change the fact that she's still Reuven's, wife. So Reb Oshia can say, therefore, that Reb Shimon would hold that there is a case of Eishes Ochim Shlohei Vailoma, either of these scenarios that we just said. But other than that, once Shimon did Yibum, whether it was before or after Levi was born, then we would say that takes away any relationship that she had with Reuven, and therefore now she's not considered relative to Levi, Eishes Ochim Shlohei Vailoma, and therefore Reb Shimon, says Reb Oshia, would allow her to do Yibum in either case. So we'll continue tomorrow with the discussion, Baruch Hashem, and discuss the ins and outs of Reb Oshia's opinion and see a different understanding of Reb Shimon also, that he only disagrees in our Mishnah, but he agrees in the previous one. So that'll be tomorrow, Baruch Hashem.
What time tomorrow?
Let's see.